Hello, this is Angela Artemis from Powered by Intuition, and tonight I have the pleasure of speaking with Lisa Wechtenheiser of Practically Intuitive. And Lisa is a psychic or intuitive, and like I am, and we have a lot in common, and we have so much to discuss tonight, and I'm just so pleased to have her here. Welcome, Lisa.
Hey, Angela, thank you so much for having me. And boy, you got that last name right. Good job.
Well, I did have a little coaching. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Well, it is just such an honor to have you on. I'm such an admirer and fan of your work and your website and your wonderful and awesome abilities of clairaudience that we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, you know, I wanted the listeners to get to know you because they may not be aware of your fabulous website. And would you just tell them a little bit about your background, how you discovered your abilities, or perhaps how old you were, and maybe if your family was approving of it or disapproving, and were you able to, you know, practice as a younger person, or did you keep it a secret? I know that's a lot of questions, but basically, I think we'd all love to know about your background.
Okay, well, I'm happy to answer those. Actually, my mom was an amazing intuitive herself, and if she said, I'm getting one of my vibes, don't go out the door. Oh, I was not going out the door because
really?
She was so right on with everything. And in my family, it was just known as one of her vibes. If she got one of her vibes, then, you know, everybody just kind of knew. And so I grew up having a lot of faith in what my mother noticed and picked up. And so for me, I never questioned that. It just was what it was. So I kind of grew up with that, and she was claircognizant, so she just kind of knew things, and she didn't know how she knew things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I always talk about is when I was 16, my boyfriend went to Germany for the summer, and he came back, and he was just acting a little off. So my mother called me in the room, and she goes, he met somebody there, and he's going to marry her.
What?
Oh my God. Well, she was totally right, and it took like 2 years to tell her. Yes, she was right about that. Because you can imagine being 16 and having a mother who just knows stuff.
Oh, yes. I can understand.
So it was kind of like, I think I learned my diplomacy skills from not doing what my mother did. I'm much nicer about things when I get those hits. But in my family, it was just very well accepted that my mom knew that. Now, mine didn't really start coming out. It hit me a little bit in my 20s, where for like a year I had this, I just knew all kinds of stuff was going to happen. But then it sort of went in the background, and it didn't really resurface again until I was probably about 40, so 11 years ago. And it really started manifesting itself. The clairaudience, very much so, came through a lot when I started doing Reiki with people. And so it really was kind of a gradual coming on. And, I could hear my pets. And I remember calling my mom. I was in this meditation, and I heard my cat talk to me, and her comment was, honey, are you going insane? And I was like, okay, goodbye, I have to go, goodbye. it was kind of like even she didn't really get it to the extreme that I did.
Right.
So for me, it was a really kind of dipping my toe in it and then full force. But through the whole thing, what really kept me was my faith. I knew, you know, I grew up having the faith in that ability. So mm-hmm. I never questioned that. It was like, oh, okay, and now I have it. Cool, let's go.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. So so when you were about 40, I wonder why that, like, I'm always interested at when it was brought out in different people. Was there anything that happened? Like, did you have something major happen? I once had a teacher when I was in junior high, mm-hmm. and we would talk all the time because she was psychic and I was psychic, and I was, you know, 13 or 14, and she told me that she did not become psychic until she had been in a very, very severe car accident, and her head had gone through a plate glass window. So, I mean, I'm hoping and praying that didn't happen to you, but I was asking, did something happen?
Well, I sort of went through the proverbial dark night of the soul when, you know, I had a friendship that just kind of fell apart, and it just threw me into this big depression. And out of that depression, for whatever reason, as I kind of clawed my way out of it and tried to make some sense of what was going on, then that's when it just started coming out full force. And, you know, I started taking a class. You know, somebody said to me, oh, I know this really great person, take a class from her. So I took like Healing Touch, and then I went and did Reiki, and wherever I was drawn to going, that's where I went. And mm-hmm. I just sort of followed that path. I didn't have the intention of going where I am today, but I started out just being very open to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it really kind of came out of the you know, seeking a path out of my depression.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, we start looking inside, that's when we start to hear or see or feel or know.
Mm-hmm.
We get away from those outward distractions. And, well, Jay, I'm sorry about your the friendship that, I guess, ended, but I guess it had a silver lining to some degree.
That person is a teacher. That person has been a major teacher for me all my life. So, you know, I out of that relationship, I've learned an enormous amount. You can't ask for more than that, I think.
Ah, well, that's probably why they came into your life, right?
Yep, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends who are also psychics and mediums, many of them do practice Reiki
mm-hmm.
or some sort of healing modality.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, that probably helped a lot too. I mean, the attunements. I mean, I have never done Reiki, so I'm only, you know, just superficially aware of some of the things about it. But
well, the vibration of you know, Reiki energy is really high. And
mm-hmm.
so I think you're right, the attunements. I'm a Reiki master.
Mm-hmm.
Each progressive attunement opens you up more. And it really, that's where my medium skills really jumped in big time. When I had a client on the table in front of me and their father would be talking to me from beyond, and I'd have to lean and go, excuse me, but your father is here, and you
yeah.
have a message or anything, you know. And so that really kind of opened that even greater. And I've been told by other teachers that Reiki is often the doorway for this
mm-hmm.
work. And I'm not surprised.
It's interesting, as I have a lot of friends who are mediums, and many of them have taken Reiki while they may not practice anymore,
mm-hmm.
but they all say the same thing. It really did open them up.
Yep.
Jeez, I was just scared from when I was a little kid, but but so now, you know, I always was curious. I know the name of your site is Practically Intuitive,
mm-hmm.
but yet to me, I would call you a psychic. Now, what do you refer to yourself as? Do you call yourself an intuitive or a psychic?
I usually, when I tell people I'm an intuitive, and I, you know why? That just resonates more with me than psychic, but I do tease people at work about stuff because they'll come up and, you know, they'll be ready to ask me for something and I'll know what it is they're asking for, and I'll say, well, remember, I'm psychic, okay? So, you know, it really depends. In my professional world, though, I refer to myself as an intuitive, I said.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a difference in the two words, or?
I think the difference is more in perception on the part of the public. You know, there is some baggage attached to the word psychic. Because, you know, there's, you know, Madame Claudia, psychic of the world or something, and people automatically think, oh, they're going to rip me off, they're going to tell me bad things. And so that, I think it's just more of a perception where if I say I'm an intuitive, there's not as much baggage with that,
mm-hmm.
I think. But, you know, I have no hesitation. I could stand up in front of a group of people and say, yeah, I'm psychic, and yay. You know,
right.
I don't have any hesitation in saying that. At all, I think it's just a matter of perception. And I,
mm-hmm.
I think the more people who are grounded and centered say that they are psychic and intuitive and whatever, the more people see that, oh, wait, that's that guy who rides in the car with me, and he's not this weird person who carries a crystal ball, but he's my
right.
boss's dog. And
right.
so the more I think that people see, we're just like, on my blog, I think I say, I'm just like a woo-woo chick walking around in a hockey shirt and jeans, because that's me, you know, I'm just a down-to-earth kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and you know, people aren't afraid of me. So if I say I'm a psychic, they'll be like, all right, you know, we know you as Lisa, and that's fine.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you. While I feel that the things that I do, the abilities that I have, lean more towards being termed under what everyone may call psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's a source. I have ambivalence about it too, because there is baggage attached to it. And I spent the last 25 years in a, you know, very professional job and trying to be perceived a certain way. And so using the word intuitive seems to have less of a connotation. So I totally hear you. But I do think, I don't know who, I've had this conversation with a lot of my other psychic/intuitive friends, and I just wanted to know what your take is on this. I feel, this is it's nothing that has been written anywhere. It's just my own slant on it. But I think intuition to me is more when we receive guidance for ourselves.
Oh.
It's something intuition. It comes from within. It's our guidance from spirit, our higher self, from the universe. And I think of psychic information as when we are connecting beyond the self to others, you know, what I like to call the world wide web of consciousness.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I can totally see that, Angela. That makes sense to me. I get that. And I think it's a really interesting distinction. I like that distinction.
And that's the only reason, like, I sometimes am so conflicted about saying I'm an intuitive, because then by my own sort of definition, although it is just my opinion, I think, well, then, you know, I would not be giving messages and information and connecting beyond myself. Although I do think it's all the same energy and the same intelligence.
Right.
But I don't know. That's just my opinion, and I just wanted to know what you thought about it, because I'm just curious. So,
I think it is an interesting distinction. I would say that I use my intuitive skills not only for myself, but when I work with others too, because I am, you know, kind of going, because I have that, I'm an empath as well. So I can do that emotional oneness thing, and I can hook in with people into what they're feeling during a session. So
mm-hmm.
I think the intuition is sort of the bridge I use to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I can go inward to myself and pull out things about them, especially if I'm, you know, doing an empath merge with them, that if it comes from inside me, but I know it belongs to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, well, I was just curious. Well, thank you so much. But I was going to ask you about work. So you have the same thing where people come up to you and want to ask you, oh, tell me what's going to happen, or give me advice, or, you know, with relationships or friendships or work relationships mm-hmm. because of your abilities?
Yeah, I'm very out about what I do there at work. I work for a financial services firm. I've been in that business 30 years. But I'm very out about what I do, and I kind of, I can read the energy of people coming in, people mm-hmm. my boss is interviewing, you know, he'll ask me, what do you get with that guy? What's going on with that guy?
So yeah.
He does kind of ask me about that. And we joke at work because I sit in an area that has two sliding glass windows, and I joke that one window is my business window, but if you need counseling or whatever, then you come to the counseling window. Put my counseling hat on for you. So it's really funny. Everybody's really trained. If I know they come to a certain window, I'm like, all right, what's going on? Let's talk about it. So yeah, I'm kind of known as that in the office, that they can always come and talk to me about stuff. And I've always been that way. And I bet pretty much anybody who does this work professionally mm-hmm. is also that kind of person, where others naturally felt comfortable sharing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had that. So I don't have any hesitation. Well, like I said, I work for a financial services firm. So if you have an outside business, you have to submit it to your compliance department so that they can review it and not have any outside conflict. So that's fun. I'm like, yes, I have an intuitive consulting business. And they were all like, what is that? And I thought,
really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, they really were very much like, "What? We don't get any of this." And I was like, can you just look at it and make sure I don't have a conflict there? Which I don't. But it was, for me, it was kind of hard. I had a moment of like, what if they think I'm like this total freak? And then I thought, so? That's what you do.
Good for you. That's awesome.
So I only had one moment of freaking out, and then I was fine.
Wow. See, I never revealed anything at work. You know, I have to be licensed for what I do, and I just never did. I just said, it's none of their business. I don't care. But, yeah, it is scary, and I think the other thing is, what if they said you couldn't do it?
I know. That was really tough because I thought about that before I submitted it to compliance, and I thought, what if they say no? And I thought, you know what? I will just have to quit. I will quit that job.
Because right.
If they say no, this is what I do. It's my life.
Yeah. It's where you get your joy from.
Yeah. So I was like, no. When I hit that submit button, I'm like, okay, this is it, you know. Fortunately, they didn't, but, you know, I had that moment where I was like, you know what, if they say no, that's it, I'm done here, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, then that meant that you were moving into that next step of your life where you weren't holding back anymore. That's good. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to ask you something about that. If you work in a financial services firm, if you were to work for a broker, does anyone ever ask you anything about some of the investments or anything?
No, they usually don't, because I think that's not quite my forte. You know, I've heard another teacher of mine said, if you're intuitive and you have a context for something, you could use your skill. And she specifically said the stock market. You use your skill because you have the context around that. Like, I couldn't go and do any intuitive work in, you know, rocket science because I have no idea what any of that is.
Mm-hmm.
So you have it in this field, but that's kind of not quite what I wanted to do.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to you, right?
No, not at all. So, no, that it stays very, very separate.
Yeah, I understand. I know I have had, I know... I used to be a managing a division manager, and so I would hire people. And I'll tell you that I always hired people that I had that good feeling from, even if they did not meet the specifications of the job. They always worked out.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. It's the people. It's that people skill. It's that somehow being attuned to people's character. It's a really great skill to have.
You can use it anywhere. That's the thing to help people. You don't have to be a professional intuitive, but you can learn to make those skills work for you wherever you are. You know?
Absolutely.
That's exactly a good example of that.
Yeah. I know. I can usually tell when a client's going to waste my time. They're just a tire kicker, you know, because for years I worked on commission, so that was very important. You know, time was money.
Right,
But... I just had another question I was going to ask you about the, All right, let me get back to it because it just jumped out of my head. I have so many questions for you, Lisa. It's such a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
But now I know, tell us all about clairaudience. That is your strongest ability from what I understand. I know you have many others, but is that your lead?
Yeah, it is, and it's, you know, probably about 4 years ago, I was involved in this forum online, and somehow I just kind of got the idea that I'm going to do readings for these people. So I offered my, you know, like, anybody want to be my guinea pig kind of thing. So I thought, you know, I would just sit down and I would just kind of like type out some ideas, what I got for these people. And their guides would just start chatting to me in my head. So I was like, okay, I just put my fingers on the keyboard and I'm like, okay, let's go. And they dictate whole letters. They dictate the whole thing. And it doesn't, you know, it started out being like I could hear the words in my head. Now it kind of comes through as like a download. Like, I'll, you know, if I'm on the phone with somebody and I'm doing a session, you know, I'll hear it while the client's talking. I'll hear the guides, you know, saying whatever they're saying. And then I'll say to the client, okay, hold on a second. And then I'll sort of translate it and spit it out to the client. And so it's really moved a lot. So now it's much more nebulous, you know, and I have to be able to just do it on the fly. But when I started out, really, the guides would dictate letters to me. And one of the first ones they did was something from my husband. And I was typing it, and I didn't like the word choice that his guides had given me. And I said to them, no, he's not going to like that word. He won't know what that means. And they were like, oh, no, when we give you something, you write it down just like we gave it to you. It's not for you. And I'm like, oh, fine. Okay, that's fine.
Wow.
That's my agreement with them is whatever comes through, I share, even if it makes no sense to me at all. Usually, but even if it doesn't, and I don't edit it or change it at all. So, but it's interesting. One of the things, you know, I've kept journals since I was 10.
And oh, have you? Oh my gosh, we have that in common.
Yeah, have you? Do you have
yes.
them all? Do you still have them all?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
If there's a fire, I'm carrying out my journals. I you know. Just because that's my life in writing, and writing is a big part of my life. So when I go back periodically and read them. I don't.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes.
I haven't done that.
It's humbling to read a 20 going, oh, wonder what I'm going to be like at 40. And I'm like, okay, pretty much like you were at 20. All right. So I go back and I look through them periodically, and I see the voice of the guide. My guides have always been writing to me for as long as I can remember, but I didn't know that. I always thought it was
really?
Just writing
that. Explain that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, well, I would always write letters like, Dear Lisa, blah, 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 and I would write out stuff that just kind of came out.
Oh, okay. So it was like inspired writing, but but it was coming from your guides.
Yeah, because when I go back now and look at it, it's the same tone, it's the same vibration, it's very much the same word choices, and I'm like, wow. They were writing to me the whole time, and I didn't even really realize that.
Wow.
It's kind of cool. And
it is.
Yeah, it really is. So once I sort of recognized what was going on, then they became very clear. So I hear my guides, and I hear other people's guides for them as well. So that's really kind of cool. And I can do it on the fly in the middle of stuff. And at work, they laugh at me because people will be talking to me, and all of a sudden, I'll just, like, hear something, and I'll say, do you want to know what they have to say?
Yeah,
we want to know, because they just talk to me often.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's always like a party going on in my
head. It is. You know, I have several friends, again, they're all mediums, and they're primarily clairaudient, and they say the same thing.
Really?
The same thing. I can be talking to them, and they'll say, oh, wait, your dad's here.
Yes. Yep.
You know, oh, wait, I have to tell you this, you know, and they just hear it.
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating because I do have times when I hear things, but not like that. And I see things, you know, like I'll see close my eyes and I'll see like a whole TV show. But it's to me, it's fascinating because I don't really see that with my eyes open. So I'm never, it doesn't really interrupt my conversation. So I find it just fascinating.
It is kind of cool. And
it is very cool.
Yeah. It really is. And I, you know, I tend to think, I grew up thinking everybody was a good writer because it was easy for me to write letters.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would see people struggle with it, I'm like, what's wrong with you all? Why can't you just write this? Because
yeah.
the thing I could do. Well, it's the same way with this. I used to hang out with a group of other women, and we would work on our spiritual practices. And so I'd say to them, okay, just tune in and listen. And they would always say to me, we can't do this the way you can.
Yeah, like, we don't hear anything. Nobody's there.
That's what they're like. Yeah, nothing was going on. But one of my friends would feel stuff in her body. When she did Reiki, she could feel what was going on in the client's body. I can't see any of that at all.
Right. Yeah, that's like the really strong clairsentience.
Yeah, very much so. It was really kind of interesting. So we each kind of had our own gifts in that group, and it woke me up to the fact that not everybody gets stuff in the same way. I do find out that when I'm working with clients who are very visual, I get a lot of pictures. I'll get it in my mind's eye. pictures I have no idea where they're even coming from.
Right.
And when I'm with someone who's more verbal, then I'll get whole phrases, I'll get, you know, whatever, a whole bunch of stuff. So it's interesting. I can always tell which clients are very visual by what I say.
That's fascinating. You know what I'm thinking now? I've never broken it down like that, but I wonder, because there are times when I can be on the Skype or phone with a client and I will be walking through their home. And I'll say, all right, when you go left here, I'm in this room, I come out, I go, you know, and I'm there, and I see it, you know, I even see their furniture and everything. And then there are other clients where it will be more auditory. And I wonder, I never associated it with the client. That's interesting that you make that distinction.
Well, I think the guides, you know, have always said they'll try to reach the person in whatever way works best for them. So if it's in pictures and that's how that person can understand it more, that's how it'll come through.
But I would think now then, because if we each have our own filter of whatever sense is more heightened for each of us, it would still be predominantly based upon that one stronger sense, wouldn't you say?
You mean like if I'm primarily clairaudient, that's primarily what I'll get?
Yeah, I mean, not 100%, but that is like the...
I think that's probably true.
Because it has to come through you, too,
yeah.
Not just the client is what
exactly.
I'm thinking. But I had another... I remembered now what I was going to ask you. About the guides, do they sound different? Do you distinguish them by their voices? Or is it a feeling? Do they feel different?
That's a good question. I would say it's more the energy. They present to me as an energy. So some guides come through very playful and very jubilant. And some guides are very serious, and they have things to communicate, and there's no time for goofing around or anything to communicate. For the most part, I will say that it feels to me like the energy of the guide follows the energy of the client. So I rarely get a client who's kind of, you know, funny and goofy with the very serious.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, they would be attracted, yeah.
Yeah, and again, that's the way that the guides can reach them as well. But, yeah, I can feel their energy more so. I did, when I used to do soul realignment readings, one of the pieces of that was to do a spirit guide reading, and you break out the guides, and you come and talk to each particular guide in this person's guide group, like between four and six of them. And each one of them had their own personality, and that was hilarious. I felt like I was going to a party. I remember one person had a guide that, like, bothered all the other guys, and this guide was, like, goofy and silly, and all the other guys were very serious, and they would all talk about this one guide, like, okay, we can't even deal with him because he's driving us crazy, and I'm like... Really? You all are talking about this? It was hilarious. So it's very interesting to talk to them individually. But when I'm in a session with a client, they usually present as a group energy. They speak as we, and they present in that kind of energy. So it's a different feeling than when you break them all out.
So then when, let's say if you're doing a reading or if you're doing mediumship, would you hear from the guide or would you hear directly from the deceased or departed spirit?
I talk to the deceased person.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I was just wondering. I don't use an intermediary.
Yeah, I don't usually either. And I haven't had any problem, you know, reaching anyone that I've set down. I just did have a reading I did for someone whose son died. He was like 5 years old, and his son, there was an accident. And when he came through, he was very mature and very, like, wise. And so she got a lot of the information, like a lot of the warm fuzzies that she was looking for, but she said, he doesn't sound the same way. So I was kind of like saying to my guides, all right, and what's up with that?
Right.
And what they gave me was that he was speaking from his soul self level, not personality level, but soul level. So I was speaking directly to that person's soul. And it was very interesting because he did have a very mature energy, but that's seen through. I mean, that's kind of what, you know, I'm given when I tune in
to
a person. She's like, are you sure you have my son? And I'm like, yes, because I work with my guides and teachers to say, you know, this is who I'm looking for. Is this who you're here with me? And I trust my guides who do that part of it.
Oh, that's interesting. So you actually ask for the person that the person wants to hear from?
Yes.
Okay. I guess, well, I was trained in the British style, and in the British Spiritual Nationalist Union, you just close yourself to any of that, and whoever comes through.
Ah, okay. Yeah, see,
and
I direct.
Sometimes they don't. So.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting. Because I've always had a direct person to connect with, but sometimes they come to me. I mean, my aunt rolled on by as she was transitioning off the earth plane, and as I talked about in my podcast, I was in the bathroom at work, and I'm just sitting there minding my business. And
oh,
I hear, hi, hon. And that's what my aunt always called me, was hi,
right.
hon. And so I was like, hi. And she's like, I'm on my way out. I just wanted to say thanks. I got your letter. We're all good. And I'm like, okay, see ya. And she was off. That was it. And so I didn't ask for that connection, but she showed up.
Right. Oh, I can. Yeah, I'm sure. Then that's different. It's,
yeah.
You don't have to be working for your relatives to come and say goodbye to you.
That's true.
They have an open door policy with you.
They do. That's right.
And one other thing about clairaudience, because I find it so fascinating, because when I get something, I guess I'm more claircognizant. I just know. And then I will hear words or sometimes names or addresses or birthdays, but not, it will never be a string, like you were saying, you know, dictation, never, ever. And that's why I just love it. I think it's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. But so it now has become, I guess, you know, you've gone through many changes and you're evolving. So now it's evolved to where it's a complete and whole idea that then you have it just downloaded whole.
Yeah.
So then you don't really hear a voice. It's just it's almost as if you're receiving it in a claircognizance type of manner, isn't it?
I just kind of know what they're saying.
Yeah, or are you still hearing a voice? That's why I'm...
No, you know, it's weird because it did evolve. And so this is what happens is I can be listening to a client and I'll just feel like this sort of universal tap, tap, tap. Like, okay, that to me, that means, okay, we're going to say something.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say to the client, okay, hold on a second. And in that minute of silence, I'll get the download. So I won't hear them go, okay, here's what the thing is we want to do. I won't hear that. I'll hear a puff of silence. And I say, okay, to the client, and then I start speaking, I'm translating what came through in that puff.
Mm-hmm.
Silence. So it is no longer words. Now, when I type it out, when I used to do email readings for people, that's when the dictation comes through.
Mm-hmm.
All I do is I move my little brain over on the side, and I'm like, okay, let's go. And they'll just start dictating. They have a whole different voice, a whole different cadence. They have their own thing. So it feels very different, and then I can feel like the energy stop. When they're done, I used to always hear, peace out. Whenever I
oh really?
Then I knew they were finished. Now I don't
get
peace out, but I just kind of know what they've said, what they're going to say. So I think it's evolved and it's continuing to evolve. But primarily, I'd say clairaudience because it does involve my inner hearing, my mind's ear.
Do you ever feel like you hear it outside of your psychic ears with your physical ears?
No, I wouldn't say that I do. I don't think I actually hear something with my physical ears, no. It's all my mind's ear.
I only ask because I have heard now three times in my life that it was three or four, but anyway, three that I now at this moment I can recall. And it was not, as I said, this is not my normal strong suit clairaudience, and each and every one of these three times it was a male voice, and it was a booming voice.
Oh wow.
And I looked around the room to see who was speaking to me.
Wow. Huh.
It's just, you know, very short declarative sentences.
Uh-huh.
And the interesting thing is, twice the voice told me to take certain jobs. And I did.
Uh-huh.
And another time it was consoling me just prior to my separation. And it said very loudly, I looked around, I was home alone, and it said, "Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain." I'm going back, like, I don't know, 15, 16 mm-hmm. years, 18 years ago. And I was all alone at home, and I looked around, and I thought somebody had come into the house.
Oh, wow.
But I ask, that's not common. It is highly unlikely,
yeah.
that, you know, unless I need something, you know. But I wonder if that was a guide or a guardian angel. I still have mixed feelings about the differentiating between the two. I don't know how to tell the difference, but
my understanding of a guardian angel is they come in with you in the incarnation, and they're mostly responsible for making sure you don't shuffle off the earth plane before your soul has decided it's time
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, keep it safe.
Yeah, that's basically their function, is how I understand it. And your guides and your teachers are, you know, like your nice little table, round table of advisors
mm-hmm.
that work with you. But, you know, and there's some people who work with their guardian angel, and I think that's probably a function of that relationship with that guardian angel.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think there's any set in stone. Like, I don't think the guardian angel is going to go, "I'm sorry, but I'm only going to take care of you if you're in a life or death situation."
right.
I think they'll be like, "Okay, whatever you want, let's talk about it."
Right. I guess if you're open and you can develop and you choose to seek a relationship like that, it certainly can happen. I never really sought out. I mean, I know who my guides are. I've had deep meditations with them and seen them and heard them. But I don't hear them on a daily basis or even weekly. I don't feel that I work with guides per se. I mean, I know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more direct just to whatever the sources, I think.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just curious.
I kind of, and I think it's really highly individual with some people. Mm-hmm. You know, I work with mine a lot. And like I said, that's the party that goes on in my head, is because mm-hmm. generally, you know, they chit-chat to me about whatever's going on, if I'm tuned into them. Or if I'm not paying attention and I need to, they'll make sure that, you know, something comes in front of me or I need to pay attention to it. But, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is I don't go to them for every little thing, but I will mm-hmm. sometimes solicit their opinion
mm.
and stuff. And it's rare that they tell me something that I didn't really already know.
Yeah, at a gut level, yeah.
Yeah, they never really, like, when I've asked them different things, the answers I get, I'm like, yeah, okay, I knew that. And so I just sort of needed, at that point, some validation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of toss stuff out and say, "What do y'all think? Sound good? Everybody good?" And, you know, keep going with that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it depends. It really depends. But I know that I've got a group that I can always toss stuff out to, and they understand. You know, like having your best friend with you all the time, where you can just say, "Hey, what about this?" And they'll say, "Hey, here's what's going on." And that's good. So for me, that really works.
Yeah, that does. I know. I guess I developed, for me, I ask for dreams, and I get answers in my dreams. Since, you know, keeping a dream log and a diary since, you know, we were little kids, that's how I always did it. And then I now, since I had, you know, started meditating 30 years ago, that was my other source, where I would just go into a meditation,
mm-hmm.
and over a certain amount of time, I became very clairvoyant, and if I ask for an answer, I will be shown a scene, a symbol, a sign,
right.
you know, as a picture.
Right.
You know, and like the other night, I was asking something for an answer about what I was doing, and all of a sudden, very clearly, I saw a pregnant woman. I didn't see anything but her very bare, naked, enormous belly.
Right.
And I knew that was the answer I was looking for. It just popped into my brain. But, yeah, I think I always was interested in, I never felt this deep connection with my, not that I don't feel connected, but I don't
right.
feel like I have this
right.
really strong relationship. But then I always think, well, I don't, maybe, you know, it's like we said, it's different for every person.
And I think it is. And I think, you know, each person has to come up with what works for them. And I feel when I see people who get all caught up in, but I'm not supposed to do it this way.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That makes me sad because mm-hmm. there's no, you know, one right way to do this. Do what works best for you
mm-hmm.
and go with it. And if you get an idea or something occurs to you, go with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
just because I can hear my guides and I chat with them all day doesn't mean you do that. You get your information in a different way, and so will everybody else.
Right, right.
Try to look at, like, well, Lisa gets it that way. Why am I not getting it that way?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, in fact, I guess I've always had a problem with a lot. I don't like to have too many authority figures in my life. That's a problem. So having guides and all that, I always was like, no.
Yep.
I'll just decide myself. Thank
yep.
you.
Yep.
You know?
And that's exactly the way to do it. You have to decide what works for you. You know, without that outside validation, you know, I've talked about that before on my podcast. There is no permission gene in the sky.
Right.
And, you know, you get to decide if you want to talk to your guides every day or you don't want to talk to them ever at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no, it's just a matter of what works for you. And I try and really help my clients come to that place of self-authority. You know, where they don't need to ask for validation all the time. They,
mm-hmm.
they just go with what they get. That's really
yeah. That's what I think. I know I really resonate to, you know, your writing and your website because I have the same philosophy. Mm-hmm. I really feel it's important for people to develop their own intuitive skills mm-hmm. and abilities, which they all have.
Right.
And they may just be latent or just undeveloped, unaware, unawakened. But having that, it's sort of like when you teach someone to fish, you know, they can feed themselves for the rest of their life.
Yes.
Because I have always heard so many stories about people who went to see someone and they felt, you know, it was bogus or it was not helpful or, and if they would learn to rely on their own intuition.
Right.
They could find that. Of course, I mean, there are times, and I certainly do turn to my friends every now and then, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I know at some point there are people who have called me or contacted me too many times, and I try to tell them, you really should not become reliant upon me
right.
or anyone because it's not good. You need to have your own strength and your own connection to your intuition.
Right.
So that I agree with.
Yeah.
But now I know, so you do Reiki, which is fabulous for opening your channels. But
mm-hmm.
what about any, now you do write because you have a lot of channeled writing with
right.
your guides.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use anything else, any sort of tarot deck or cards? I know some people use color cards. I don't use those, but or angel cards. I don't use those either, but
I when I'm working with clients, I generally don't. For my own self, I have used and I still do every morning. I pick three cards for my deck and I say, okay, what are the energies around me today?
I do that too.
And so I usually do that for myself. And you know, now and again, I'll go back and forth with the pendulum and, you know, but I tend to just mostly rely on what I get and trust
mm-hmm.
what I get. And when I work with clients, it all just, whatever comes to me, you know, is how I do it. But I've had great tarot card readings. I've had, you know, really, one summer, I wrote about this too, one summer, I wasn't working. And so every day I picked three cards and I wrote down, you know, three angel cards and I wrote down what the cards were and I kept track of them. At the end of the month, I tallied up how many of each card showed up because clearly I didn't have anything to do that summer.
Oh, you were doing statistics. Okay.
And so, I found out that each month had a theme, which was
really
interesting. Uh-huh. And I went back and looked at my journal because that's where that kind of stuff comes in handy. And it's so correlated to what was going on in my life that summer. So really kind of cool how that showed up.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do that, mostly I'm just asking for what energies And what do I need to pay attention to?
I find the tarot to be extremely accurate. I started doing them when I was very young. I was 10 years old when I got my first deck, and I just took to them like a duck to water.
I like them too.
Yeah. And
because the cards would tell a story. Don't you find that they tell a story? Yeah.
And I think that's what, if you are a writer, if you are a storyteller, if you have that ability, and you also understand symbolism and you resonate to that and you have, you know, gotten a background in the cards, if you lay the cards out, you are telling a story.
Yep, that's exactly it. Because I've done it with other, when I went to the, I was in a seminary for a while. It was a mystical progressive seminary. And
Lisa, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a really cool place. It's in Oklahoma on a mountain, and it was very cool. And they have what's called Shusta cards, and it's very much like that. And it, you know, you would lay the cards out, and they all had drawings on them. And all the cards would tell a story. And it was just a matter of sort of putting the story together for the person in front of you. And I loved doing that. I thought it was a lot of fun. I really liked it.
I do, too. I still find I love the cards because they really zero in on whatever the most pertinent question is that the client has. I'll have people ask me something, and they won't answer that. They will answer something that
That's
the person
right.
was embarrassed to ask or they were hesitant to ask, but that they need to know. It's just uncanny. Yep. It's really amazing.
It's really cool to watch, too. As the person doing the reading, you're like, oh, that's awesome. Look at how that just happened. It's very cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. It is. The whole just doing this work is amazing. It's something, I guess, when I finally realized that here I had been pursuing this big business career and pushing and pushing and working and working. And when I finally realized the source of my unhappiness was because I wasn't paying attention to the one little teeny tiny thing that I had always loved doing my entire life, which was this type of metaphysical and psychic work.
Right.
That's when my life clicked. But it's just I feel it's such a privilege.
Oh, it is. And it's such a sacred trust to be able to do that with people. And I love it. It's when I'm at my best, when I'm happiest. I love doing that work and just really, you know, encouraging people to trust what they're getting and to be with somebody as they're stepping into it. I just love it. It just brings me enormous joy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Do you find, I know there are times when I have had people contact me and they're a little hesitant, they're not sure, but they're maybe at their wit's end, they don't know where else to turn, they want to do something and they need some reassurance or guidance. And I find when people are somewhat skeptical, I don't feel that my information flows as easily because there's something there that is preventing it. Like I find it's almost like I develop not a stutter, but you know what I'm saying? Like the information just doesn't come smoothly. You have that too?
I've had that happen once with a client who I think she wanted me to tell her to, you know, drop her everything in her life and go off across the country with her family to go to this very expensive university. And what her guide told her was, you have everything you need right now, right where you are to do this work. Which I thought, hell, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
And she was furious. She did not like that answer. And in fact, she wrote me and asked for a refund. Because she felt that what I offered her was not helpful. And, and I was like, oh, my gosh, okay. Because she came in there not open to what was.
Yeah, she wanted to hear what she wanted to hear. Yeah, I understand.
But, you know, I had a moment of, like, doubt. This was early on when I was doing things. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do? This is hard.
Yeah.
And my guides were like, look, you gave her what came through. You have no control over that. What she does with it is her choice.
Mm-hmm.
Your agreement is to give her what comes through. That's what came through. I would love it if my guide said, you don't need any more schooling. Girlfriend, go do it right now, right where you are.
Yeah,
I think that's a high compliment from the guide.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to hear that at all.
Yeah, I guess her ego was attached to having an advanced degree or something.
yeah, I mean, it's $30,000 a year to go to this college. And I'm like, oh, my God. So
wow.
It really did. I could feel her right from the very beginning when she asked mm-hmm. what was her sole purpose. And I'm like, okay, they're not going to tell you that. You're going to work on that. I can help give you some signs.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find it out. That's your work to do, is to find
yeah.
out. And right from that, then she was like, okay, just nothing. And it shut me down, too.
Right. That's what happens. Yeah, I think then when there's that imbalance where you start to feel they don't have the faith in you, then some connection is a little bit severed, and
yes.
you're not going to get, or at least I don't get the same quality of information. And then it unnerves me. It really
yes.
unnerves me, because I know,
it.
You know, when you're on,
yes.
you know.
That's exactly
yeah.
it. And that was really the only time I've ever come across something like that. And I think if I were to feel that again early in the session, I would say that, and I would give the client the option
mm-hmm.
in the session at that point, and then refund
right.
them, because, you know, maybe I'm not the best person
for
that meeting.
That's what I do now. If I sense that, I will just tell the person, look, do you want to stop? You know, I feel like I'm not connecting with you, and
right.
and this is what I got, and I know it's, you know, and I'll say, you know, I'm very happy to give you your money back.
Yep.
And I don't want that kind of money if somebody's not
right.
happy. I want
right.
them to feel that they received, you know, whatever it is, you know, a full benefit or whatever.
Right.
But
right.
yeah, I was once, many years ago, I thought, let me try working for one of these online psychic hotlines.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well, I wanted to try it because I wanted to test myself to see if I could be fast, because that's one of the things, is they pay you by the minute.
Right.
And you have to be able to take a lot of calls, and you have to be quick. And usually people don't want to pay for more than 10 minutes, because every 10 minutes is like
$20. Oh, yeah.
So they want you to be... Right as soon as you get on the phone, they say, this is my question, da-da-da-da-da. And so I didn't do it for very long. I did it for one summer, and I found it excruciating. Because the reason why I brought it up is because it reminded me of what you just mentioned. Every person that called, almost 99% of them had an agenda. They were seeking an answer that they already had formulated in their mind and that they were completely attached to.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, now, they didn't have any doubts so far as they weren't, like the other people, when I say people who are skeptical and they're not quite sure they believe and they are not sure whether they made the right decision calling you,
mm-hmm.
that kind of energy can undermine the quality of a reading. Because
right.
for me, then I start to feel their hesitancy and I feel like the connection isn't as strong.
Right.
But with somebody like this... I thought of an example. I had one woman, and she wanted to know if the man she was seeing was going to leave his wife for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately knew. I said, I don't think, you know, it's going to work out and this, that. And I got a lot of impressions and this and that, and she was very, very upset, and I felt terrible.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, when someone is just, they want what they want, and they want to hear
yeah.
what they want, it's a very difficult situation, because I know she's probably going to have her heart broken, but, you know, you do have to go with what you get, you know.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're being so unethical and untrue.
Right, I agree, and that's, you know, like I said, my guide schooled me in that early and said, what we give you is for that person, and you deliver it that way if you're going to be the messenger. So
yeah.
that's where I learned, you know, regardless of what it is. Now, I phrase it much nicer than my mother, who
yes.
was like, "Lenny, don't leave you and marry her." I learned a lot of diplomacy. So if I do get something that is kind of touchy, I do know how to phrase it so that it's not hurtful, and I ease around it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had situations like that where I'll pick up, you know, incest or abuse of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
yeah.
doing something, and I'll say that, you know, here's what I'm getting. Is that accurate? Is that, you know, what, this is just what I'm getting. And so I did learn how
mm-hmm.
to phrase those things, as I'm sure you know how to do that too.
Yeah.
Hard, regardless.
It's very hard. I dance around it a lot. I'll say I feel there's been some sort of abuse. I have a hard time with the incest and sexual type... I find it very hard even for me to bring up, so I usually just sort of tone it down and just say abuse. To be honest, I have a difficult time with that. But I was just going to ask you, do you have a favorite type of reading that you enjoy more than others?
Let's see. I do the cord cutting, the energetic cords of attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. The thing I really like about that is that not only, you know, does the energetic cord get cut, but then we look at the dynamics that's in the cord and which way the energy flows, and then what will things be like now that you no longer have that energy flowing back and forth between you and the other person. And it's so awesome to, you know, I kind of do a before picture with people so energetically we can look at where they are, then we cut the cord, then we do the validation, and then we kind of do a closing process. And it's neat to be able to see most people start very tense and very anxious about whatever's going to come through, and then at the end of the session they feel so much better, and it's such a difference for them being able to, you know, let this out and then know that it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That energy's not flowing back and forth. And so it's been really a cool experience for me to go through that with them. Because I'm there with them every step of it. So I feel, you know, elated at the end of the session with them as well. So,
oh, wow.
That's my favorite thing to do, I think.
And when the people want that sort of reading, then they obviously know who they,
yep,
they know who they want to cut the cords with.
Yes.
And
it's
okay.
One chord a session with their major chord, like a mother, father, spouse, you know, sister, brother, any of those big relationships that are very, you know, dynamic.
Yeah,
that's one a session, but it's really very validating for you can find out what's been going on in the relationship.
Yeah.
Why things were the way they were.
Oh, wow. I know my favorite, I love mediumship readings. So I think that's maybe that's the only time I feel like I'm the direct contact with the deceased is so amazing.
Yes.
I keep calling them the deceased. They're the discarnate entity, I guess, is the right word.
Right.
But feeling their energy, and especially when they want to send love to the
person. Oh, my God. I know.
I know. It's like, oh, my God, you can feel it. It's unreal.
It is. It's like a huge hug, and it's warmth, and it's, and I'm always so excited that I get to be, you know, the one who passes that on.
Yeah.
I get it too.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It is just amazing to feel that. It really, really is. It's
cool. Yeah, that's my favorite. I mean, I truly, you know, I certainly am happy to help people with their problems and get answers, but I definitely just love the special nature of the mediumship reading, because it is a privilege. It's such a privilege to say, here is someone who used to be in this plane and now they really cannot communicate and they are dying to say something.
Right.
And we're the lucky ones that are able to bring through the message. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they just have very little time to do it because it's hard for them. And
yeah.
I just think it's so awesome. It just always knocks me over with a feather, I guess, you know, that is happening. It's just unbelievable.
I watch Lisa Williams on cable, and I love her. I think she's really a good.
I took a course with her in Santa Monica a couple of years ago.
Oh, I think she's just awesome. And one of the things that she did was, I remember there was a woman whose husband died in Iraq. And so they brought the wife to Washington to meet with Lisa, and Lisa brought through the husband to say goodbye to his...
Mm.
Oh, my God, I cried through that whole show.
Yeah.
It was stuff that was between them, and Lisa was the medium.
Right.
But it was such a wonderful bit of closure and love.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, to be able to do something like that,
that
to me is serving humanity. It really is.
It is.
Yeah. I have a lot of reverence for that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, I bet she was she a lot of fun?
Yes, she was a lot of fun. I would say the only thing, my disappointment was that there was way too many people there. And, you know, because she is a celebrity, I would never do something like that again, because you don't, unless she's going to limit the number of people, you're not going to get any one-on-one instruction or anything like that. It's just, you know, she's going to be lecturing from the stage. So, although she was fabulous and, you know, she is a very warm person, it came through loud and clear, you know. But, yeah, the mediumship is just so special. I've had people, you know, come to me and ask me if I can help them find someone who's missing. And then the sad part turns out that they're not, you know, they're not here anymore. And it's just, it's such, I mean, the person will come to you and say, you know, show you where they've been or. And it's just such an amazing thing. And then finding out later, oh, yes, that's, this is what happened. They found the person or whatever. And it's just unbelievable.
It is. It's just, really neat. It really is. I'm with you right on that.
Yeah. So I was wondering, do you think we choose psychic or intuitive work, or does it choose us?
That's a good question. you know, I'm such a Libra, because I could argue both ways on that.
Oh, so you just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. My sense is that everybody has this ability, but not everybody chooses to pursue it. So I guess I would say we choose it because we use our free will to, you know, grow our skills and to hone them and to really work with those skills. My sense is really everybody can tune into this frequency. It's a matter of whether they choose to or not, whether they want to or not, and whether in this lifetime that's part of their path. You know, like clearly it's part of our path in this lifetime to really turn up the volume on that frequency. So for other people, it may, you know, my mom had it to a degree, but she never pursued any more than, you know, yeah, I get my vibes, that's it.
Right.
So I think for her, she would never have chosen to do it professionally at all. So my sense is that we choose to turn up the frequency if we want. That's my feeling about it. But, you know, I could argue the other way.
You know what? I don't have an answer. I was just curious. It just sort of came to me before I called you. And I thought, geez, maybe, you know, not that we are chosen as if we are special, because I do agree with you that everyone has this ability. However, I think if you get chosen, you have free will to choose whether you will pursue it or not. I'm glad that you are. And so what's next? What are you working on? What are you taking any other courses or any new certifications or not that you need them? And I don't mean to say that at all, believe me. Just what's next? What's happening?
Well, that's a good question. I'm really looking forward to going full time with this. I'm hoping in 2012.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. And I'm also, I've become the medium at residence at Psychic But Sane. I don't know if you know Anna Conlon.
I do. You know what? I have not been in touch because I've been working on this darn book for so long, but I do know Anna.
Yeah.
How fabulous. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so she, because she doesn't do mediumship readings, but she gets a lot of people who do. So we decided to come up because Anna and I share many of the same teachers. We share the same sense of the worldview and how we look at things. And we thought that's a really great fit. So
yeah, that's perfect.
It is. So I just started up just 2 days ago a page along with my site that's specific to mediumship readings. And I'll be starting up a forum where people can come and share their stories and talk about stuff.
And oh, that's great.
Yeah, so Anna and I will be working on that together. So that's my focus right now. And that's one of those things that, you know, when it's put in front of you, like I hadn't considered that. Like I can do it. I just haven't. And it just sort of happened. And I said to my guides, and shall I follow this? And they were like, do you see all the doors opening? I'm like, and I shall follow this.
Yeah.
I figured, okay, that's going to be a good path. I'm also looking at this past March, I taught a course called Trust What You Get. It was a teleclass and teaching people how to trust their intuition. And so I'm looking at creating Trust What You Get deeper. So people can learn to use their intuition without having to rely on signs all the time. Just like you do, you just know stuff and you know people and you go with it. And so that's kind of what I'll be teaching in that direction. I'm continuing on with the podcast. I love, love, love doing those. I'm very excited. They come out every Monday.
Yes, you've been so regular, so you're not writing articles anymore?
Yeah, I do. I do a podcast that comes out on Monday, and on Thursday I post an article.
Oh, okay. You know what? It's the opposite. I'm trying to do a post on a Sunday and a podcast on a Thursday. Okay, great.
Well, yeah, I find consistency is really important, and I wanted people to be able to know that every Monday there comes another podcast about whatever. So they're just about 6 minutes long. They're not very long at all, and I have a blast doing them. And I almost never know what I'm going to talk about until I sit down and I write it out and then I read it so that I don't sound like a big dope on there.
You sound marvelous on there.
Thank you. Well, that's because I'm reading it.
Oh, okay.
Much more fluidly.
Mm-hmm.
But I just sit down and write. Like, I'll be like, okay, what shall I talk about today? And just blip something out and it comes out. So I'm loving doing that. I'm going to continue to do that sort of thing. So I'm going in a bunch of directions this coming year.
That's great. Well, you have a lot going on, girl.
I know it. I know it. It's so much fun. I just love it. It's not work at all to me.
No, it is fun. I know. Sometimes I look up and it's like midnight and I'm still doing something and I think, oh, my God, I guess it's not work. You know, you really love it. But I want everyone to know where they can find you, Lisa. It's practicallyintuitive.com. Is that right?
That's the website. And the mediumship piece is just mediumship.practicallyintuitive.com.
If they go to your website, will they find it there, or they have to do it separate?
No, I think they can find it there. I think it's on there. Well, the podcast is up right now about chatting with the dead. It's right on the podcast. So, I'm going to have a link on the top bar as well.
Okay. Great. Well, it's been so nice spending this last hour with you. I have just loved talking with you, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
I'd love to. Maybe next time you can do it from my website. That would be a lot of fun.
It would be my pleasure. I would absolutely adore that. Lisa, thank you so much. Thank you for giving us this time, and enjoy your day or your evening. Oh, we're on the same time, so it's evening where you are, right?
It is. Well, I've loved talking to you, Angela. I've known you online for a while, but it's really nice to get a chance to hear your voice and feel your energy. It's lovely.
Oh, thank you. Even though I'm not my tip-top self because I still am a little under the weather, but I do feel much better.
Good. I'm glad.
Thank you, Lisa.
Well, thank you, too, and I'll talk to you again sometime.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.